And along the way, he develops the fear. Will I make it or will I not make it? Will I be first or second? And then the comparison thoughts take over. Is the other one better or worse than me? And he suffers. He develops stress and anxiety, especially when later in his life he has responsibilities to deal with. He ends up with panic attacks. He even goes to the church and he develops the same fake relationship with God too. He cannot surrender himself in his hands. He is afraid. He is afraid of sins and tries to demand God's assistance. What is the way out? Humility. To say, do you, my Lord, want me to be last? Let it be blessed. Do you want me to be useless? Let it be blessed. Do you want me to be in hell? Let it be blessed. All I ever wanted is you. But do you know what a good kid will say? What will I do if in heaven the people I do not like are above me? He will suffer even then, and for this reason, he won't accept this position in heaven. What is pride? To believe in our own thoughts and judgments. There is no greater delusion than to believe in our own thoughts and judgments. There is no greater slavery than the slavery of our thoughts. They can literally drive us crazy. The free man is the fool for Christ. I do not know anything. You, my Lord, do as you wish. How easily can we accept this? When we grow in an antagonistic environment and we always want the best positions, we will get there, but we won't achieve happiness. There is no greater or more painful crucifixion than the crucifixion of our logic, to be willingly and with full conscience fools for Christ. Don't ask to be the first, and don't ask to be the last. Just ask for God Himself. If we are peaceful, whether He positions us, wherever He positions us, God positions us, we will be free and happy. This is not easy because we have reactions inside us. We need to reject the worries and become like the children. When we accept a proud or a judgmental thought against our brother, God will allow us to fall in other temptations to become humble again. And in case we do not fix our positioning and our attitude, God allows flesh temptations to tempt us. This is because the sins of the flesh are without a doubt noticeably bad, even from those who commit them. So noticeable that you can't keep being proud. They humiliate us. But once we humble ourselves, God will grant us peace and all the adversary thoughts will disappear. Pride leads us into temptation and will keep us there until we humble ourselves. This is the secret of the spiritual life. Humility makes us receptive of God's grace. Difficulties in life are not to make us holy, but to make us humble. Humility casts away every anxiety. When you are around humble people, you feel peaceful and free as well. Why don't others feel this way around us? Because we are proud. We believe in our thoughts and ourselves, and therefore we create a separation from the ones around us. When a disease has no symptoms, it is extremely dangerous. There are no signs to help us realize there is something wrong with us. The same way our numerous sins are the symptoms of the deeper sin of pride inside us. We should be grateful to God for allowing us to fall into these temptations, not because we want to sin, but because these are the warnings of the hidden pride inside us. Afterwards, we need to maintain with all our powers the humility. Otherwise, we will fall again and again. We also need to learn how to extract good thoughts from the bad ones. This indicates spiritual maturity and humility. You get the feeling if the thought is good and clean or evil. You can understand if a thought is good or evil. A good-looking thought might be evil and fill us up with anxiety and discomfort. This is why we sense their origin from the feeling they create inside us. If they upset us, they are evil, regardless how spiritual they may seem. They are wolves in sheep's clothing. Our problems are not an excuse for anxiety. We need to keep a space inside our hearts, which will be unapproachable to all the surrounding problems and difficulties. This is the holy altar of our hearts, where we will meet with God. This is something which a hermit and an ascetic might not have developed, but a married person could possess. The center of our existence needs to stay virgin of all limits and off limits to every worry and trouble. This is not only the way for spiritual success, but also for success in life, because this is the way to stay psychologically healthy. The healthy relationships start from inside us. Such a person knows the reason of his existence and fulfills it. Such a person has meekness. A meek person doesn't move psychologically regardless if you praise or blame him. He does not stress about it because his constant focus is elsewhere, on God. Our Lord indicates that if we learn from him to be meek and humble in our heart, our soul will find comfort, meaning no psychological issues could ever trouble the person who is full of God's peace, full of the Holy Spirit. That's all I had to say. They are difficult sometimes to understand, and maybe there was too much information there. But whoever wants, I can forward you this text in English and you can read it again and again. And if you have questions, you can always come back and ask me, because it's a difficult subject. But now, whoever has questions, just wait for the microphone so we can all hear you and we can start. A little bit louder. And,
Could you just explain what it means to not trust in our thoughts?
Not trust?
In our thoughts.
Thoughts.
Yeah, you said that there is no kind of illusion to know our thoughts.
Thoughts.
Oh, thoughts or thoughts?
Thoughts.
Thoughts, okay.
I like it.
Yes. So, maybe I didn't sound clear, but I said we should not trust in our thoughts. Any other questions?
if everything is about the thought, and we shouldn't accept left or right thoughts, can be all centuries in. And it's the only way to go through is watchfulness, is nipsis, or is any other way?
Yes. So we've said this a lot of times. It's like the temptations will come around as the thoughts will come and attack us. But it's we have to keep in mind what Saint Apostle Peter did when there was this thunderstorm and he saw Jesus and he asked Jesus, "Can I walk on the waves and come to you?" And Jesus said, "Yes." So as far as he was focused on Christ, he could walk on waves. When he started looking around him at the temptations, he nearly lost his life. So that's extremely important. If our focus is not God, we will have so many anxieties just because we worry about everything around us. And whatever is around us will tempt us and will make us anxious and will make us uncomfortable. But if our focus is in Christ, all this, they are meaningless. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. Like someone might have a huge problem, and this is from the example I will tell you is from the book of Felda Milianos about nipsis, about vigilance that you mentioned. So someone might have a huge problem in his life, like they kicked him out of the monastery, or he has cancer, or whatever else, which is unbelievably distressful. He's so stressed that he doesn't know what to do. He goes, he talks to his elder, and his elder tells him, "Why do you worry? God loves you, and this is not a matter of speech. This is what matters. Because even if you die now, if God loves you, you will be with him. That's eternity. That's everything. Why would you worry about anything else?" And then this person leaves the conversation with his elder, and he's happy. Nothing changed. He's still kicked out from his monastery, or he still has cancer. He's not cured, but the way he sees things is different. And that's why now he's happy, when before he had anxiety. So it's all up here. It's all on the way we think. And that's why Saint Paisios always talks about the bee and the bee and the fly. Huh? Yes. Yes. Anything else?
You said to obtain a God-centered mindset. So is the easy or the best way? Is it humility? Is that the best way?
Humility is your preparation, but still you need to focus on Christ. So wherever you find the opportunity, humble yourself. And this sometimes will be so hard, like it will be easier for you to cut off a finger than humble your ego. And I'm telling you this because we've all experienced it. But this is what gets you closer to God and more away from worshiping your own idol. And at the end of the day, if you just think, "I don't care for anything, I want to save my soul, that's all I care about, and I want God to show mercy in my family, my kids, my wife." So if that's what matters, let God do his job. He knows his job better than what we do. And you're in safe hands.
Still practically, every day, every minute, how to focus practically on Christ?
There are two things. The one is to ignore the temptations and the distractions, and the other one is to focus on Christ. So we have to do both at the same time. The thoughts, they are like, Elder Milenos used to say this again, that the thoughts, they are like birds, that the more you keep feeding them little pieces of bread, the more they will keep coming back.